Well, I've got a 54-page sermon here. But they're little pages, so don't get too excited. But I think I'm going to actually just give you the Reader's Digest version and read the passage found in 2 Peter chapter 1. Make a few comments and then spend some time in prayer. We'll give opportunity if there's any that would like special prayer. And then just spend the rest of the time taking the advantage that we have to pray for one another and to pray for this assembly and pray for each individual as we desire to be everything that God wants us to be. And a part of that process, Peter reveals to us in 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll just begin reading at verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I fall into that category. The same faith that saved Peter, the same faith that changed that man, is the exact same faith that I have. The faith in Jesus Christ. A like precious faith. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. If you're here this evening and you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you've been a recipient. You know something about the grace of God and peace with God, don't you? But Peter here is talking about an added, multiplied aspect of that. It's the same grace, it's the same peace, but a greater measure, a greater understanding, and it comes only one way, by a knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't come any other way. Verse 3, as His divine power has given to us how many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness, once again, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. God has not called us as believers to failure and to disappointment and to discouragement. He's called us by and for His glory and by His virtue. That is, the word can be translated by His manliness. That is His power and ability to get the job done. And He's given us everything. We had this morning how we can have victory in our struggle with the flesh, a battle with Amalek. He's given us everything that pertains to that life and to godliness. We can't make excuses for ourselves or for anyone else. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, His divine power has given to you everything that you need to live a life that is full and abundant and a life of godliness. Verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We talked about that wonderful way of victory this morning. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you did so. If you're saved tonight, you're saved by faith, by grace through faith. So you've exercised that measure of faith that leads to salvation. And that's the ones to whom Peter is writing. But now he says, add to your faith and to do it with diligence. As we saw this morning in the very clear illustration of Moses, in that battle with Amalek, he didn't put out a lot of effort, did he? He rested on the rock. He surrendered to his support, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the life of Christ. And he lifted up the resurrected life of Christ. You and I, if we're going to be victorious, we need to be diligent to do those same things. It's His power. It's His nature. It's His work. Joshua fought the battle and won. Jesus fights the battle and wins. But we have to be diligent to rest, to put these things into practice, and to add to our faith virtue. This word virtue, it's the same one that we had earlier in the passage. It means courage, manliness, valor. It's one thing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's another thing to be courageous, to stand up and be identified with Him. Add to virtue knowledge. All of these things in this list that Peter exhorts us to diligently add to our faith, we are to have them all. This is not pick and choose. You'll see how they're dependent one on another. I believe there is a certain progress to be seen in this list, but we are to possess all of them and to continually allow them to flourish and to grow in our life. But to virtue, we need to add knowledge. There are a lot of Christians that are very bold about their love for Jesus, and they tell others about their love for Jesus. But I have known many of them that really could not tell you why they love Jesus. It's more of just something that they repeat, because they don't have an understanding of what Jesus really accomplished for them on the cross. Not just to escape from hell, but the great and precious promises that we have that leads to the very throne of Jesus Christ. God's people need to add that knowledge to their boldness. Self-control. To knowledge, add self-control. That knowledge will do you no good if you do not let it govern you. Whenever you read this virtue as it pertains to believers, it has nothing to do with self-controlling self. The thought here is simply to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let the Word of God dominate you. You have to make that choice. You have to be diligent to add this aspect to your life. But it is actually a surrendering, just as Moses learned to sit on the rock. We need to learn to allow the Word of God to govern us. That knowledge that we have in His Word, let it be the authority in our life. Add to self-control perseverance. Ongoing, consistent, enduring consistency. We don't want to get stuck in chapter 7 of Romans. It's a real experience. It was one that characterized Paul's life. As I said in the illustration, it characterized that battle with Amalek, the up and down, the flow of the battle. But God wants us to come to a place where our life is characterized by consistency, to persevere no matter what we face in life, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the temptation. To perseverance, add godliness. Be like God. That's a pretty tall order, isn't it? Once again, when you understand the divine nature that's been given us, you understand it's really not that hard. It is God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But be diligent to let Him work. Be diligent to let Him work, and you'll see the power. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Once again, all of these things must work together. There are those that are saved, are courageous, bold in their testimony, have a knowledge of Scripture. In their own particular life, there is a measure of testimony of godliness and consistency and self-control. But when it comes to loving their brother or their sister, that's an area that they need to be diligent to add to the list. All of us. And to brotherly kindness, love. This is something that is to shadow and encompass everything we do, not only our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, but our love for the lost. How we minister to others. It's because we love God, because He first loved us. That's why we do what we do. That's why we think the way that we think. And if that's not what governs us, then we're going to fall short of pleasing the Lord. If love does not encompass everything that we do and say and are, be diligent to add these things. Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound. Notice the Holy Spirit is saying, don't be satisfied with just saying you have some of these things some of the time. These things are to abound in you. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many times in this short passage have we read the importance of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is what it's all about, saints. This is why Paul said, oh, that I might know Him. He gave up power and prestige, education, and all of those things. He gave them up that he might know Christ. Because there's nothing that supersedes the importance of that. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. If we're not constantly, diligently adding these things, we begin to slide backwards. As we had Sunday or two ago, that spiritual principle that Jesus taught. If you don't take heed to what you hear, you're going to lose what you've heard. We have to continually, diligently add these things. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. In other words, these things will be the evidence that you are who you say you are. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. God knows who's are His. How does the world know? Because they see these things in our life. Because they see the power of God transforming us. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These things result when they abound in us in an abundant entrance. Every child of God has an entrance into that kingdom. Been translated already. From past eternity, that translation took place. But saints, do you want an abundant entrance? God says that that is what's going to bring the Lord Jesus Christ the greatest glory on that wonderful resurrection morning, for us to have an abundant entrance. For that reason, saints, I want an abundant entrance. It's not selfish. It is selfish for you not to desire it. It is unbelief for you not to desire to have God's best, because that's what brings His grace the most glory. For this reason, I will not be negligent, Peter said, to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly, Peter says, I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. May we truly be diligent to add these things, to learn to diligently rest in the finished work of the cross, and let Him do that work in us, that we might have victory in our day-to-day.